Welcome to a bonus episode of the People First Podcast. The following episode is from our office Q&A with Robbie Moore from our last episode. Enjoy the show and check out our interview with Robbie if you missed it.
Robbie Moore, I was going to say about the, do you know the roles of the government? Is it a treat like the benefits or house benefits?
So as the government, we provide lots of support to individuals that need extra help, whether it is finding a house or if it is through support for their utility bills. So whether it, well, on housing support, that is dealt with by and administered by the local authority. So here in it's the Bradford Council that would provide that level of interaction with you. And the government help support that. But also we provide support through utility bills, as we spoke about a little bit earlier on, through the energy price guarantee, which tries to keep utility bills as low as possible with the increased cost that everyone's experienced over the last few years with electricity bills and gas bills rising.
This coming back actually to the to Minster and the working from home. Now, I don't know if it's just a coincidence, but or if it were planned, but it's that it happened near enough exactly at the same time, within a week of each other.
So as I was saying earlier, we have a disability minister, and that has never changed. The only thing that has changed is the individual who is the disability minister. So previously, it was a chap called Tom Persglove who was the disability minister, and we now have a lady called Mims Davies who's the disability minister. But their roles, their the profile that that role has, the undertakings that they have as a minister, the level of interaction that they have with colleagues, MP colleagues or colleagues within government departments has not changed. So the only thing that has changed, as I was saying earlier, is simply the individual that is carrying out that role.
I got one. The train to get the business class tickets on the train to get on to. I need a personal card for for first day's class seat of train, and I need to get some ID for wheelchair exits to get on the train and the business class seats to go on. We paid extra. Nobody help us.
Yeah, so every train station has an operator that is in charge of managing that station, and it should be the role of the operator to ensure that there is the ability to get on the train if you have a disability or if you have a wheelchair requirement. Now, if there is difficulties that you or others are experiencing, I need to be made aware of that, as you have just done, and that is something that I can take up with the train operator, because it should be in a scenario where it is fair for all to be able to get on to the train. Now, that's the accessibility bit done in terms of getting on the physically getting on the train. So leave that as a point for me to take away if you're experiencing particular circumstances of and challenges. Based on the type of ticket you're buying, if you're being forced to buy a first class ticket because that's where the space is for a wheelchair because there is no space in the standard class, then again, I will take that away as a point of action to query on how the system is working with the train operators.
So the issue with Keighley was, so when you're going out towards Leeds, you can come from the side and easily get down the slope in a wheelchair. But when you're returning, there's that great big slope to get up, and I didn't have anybody with me, and we'd called ahead for accessibility, so you sort of book it in advance. And I was there for a very, very long time, nearly an hour, and then a gentleman happened to be walking by at the top, and I sort of shouted him down, and he said, I'm very lucky that I got him, who is willing to help me get up the big slope, but normally people wouldn't get help because they don't provide that service because it's too steep, and the gentlemen's have bad backs, and I feel awful about that, but it actually prevents me going from that station now. And I've sent several complaints and suggestions, and yet there's been nothing happening. So that's what happened with that.
Obviously, the ramp at Keighley is too steep. It doesn't meet any disability requirements. And this is a challenge that we face when you've got a lot of old Victorian stations that have not had the money that's been spent on them to make them fully accessible for those with disability requirements. And Keighley, unfortunately, is one of them. You've got, I think, the platform, if you're going towards Bradford or Leeds direction, you can get on. And we've already mentioned the challenges if the train operator is not providing the service to physically get on the train with the ramp. But if you're, as you quite rightly point out, if you're coming in the Skipton direction and you're getting off in Keighley, the ramp doesn't meet disability requirements. Now, what is the government doing about that as a general issue? We have rolled out funding for upgrading train stations that don't meet disability requirements to either reduce the steepness of the ramp or put in lift facilities. And that comes with challenges associated with, you know, physical challenges of if you're dealing with a Victorian station and, you know, how does that necessarily work? But that's not being done at the moment with Keighley. It is something that I've strongly been advocating to happen. I actually had the Rail Minister up here, Hugh Merriman, to talk about this specific issue. We've got some upgrade works that are going to be taking place at Keighley anyway. It's about £9 million that are going to be spent in upgrading Keighley. But what that specifically won't deal with is the steepness of the ramp at the moment, because that's a project in itself in terms of where we need to put focus on. And that's something that I am doing, but it's just frustrating that it's taking a bit of time. So I think that, just to summarise on that point, I'm aware of it, and it's a bigger construction issue that needs to be addressed, just given the physical challenges with the Keighley train station. But there is another point here. In the meantime, what is the expectation on the train operator that has trains in that site? And if you are able to book in advance, which is what you obviously did, but it sounds as if no one turned up even though you had booked it, well then that's a failing of the train operator to carry out their duties, and therefore, as your as the MP here, this is the first I've heard of that particular challenge that you've had. I'd be more than happy to challenge the train operator and them not providing that service. Who's going next?
But I think both people in the wheelchairs. People on wheelchairs struggle on the bus.
Yeah, so, one of the reasons that I like to engage with People First, Keighley and Craven as often as I do is to try and get an understanding of the challenges that you want me to be focusing on locally. Because it's okay me coming up with what I think needs to be prioritised, but that's where, you know, your role in telling me is so important. And some of the issues that come up is simply to do with accessibility around the town centre. So pavements not being smooth enough, or dropped curbs not being in the right locations. And that gets raised time and time again. So if you're wanting to cross the road even, if the dropped curb isn't in the right location, that makes it very challenging. Or with certain bus stops where the bus has the ability of taking a wheelchair on it, the pavement not being raised enough so the accessibility onto the bus is necessarily done with ease. So those sorts of issues I raise with the local highways authority to do the drop curbs and the smoothness of the pavements. So that sits with Bradford Council's, the local highways authority. But also with the accessibility onto the buses, that's a conversation with the bus operators as well.
I want to agree that things should be made better about public transport, and also going back to what Robbie has just said about rail, I think something should be done to prevent train strikes from happening like as frequently as they have been doing just lately.
I think the thing that we really would like is more accessible information, because it's very challenging when in the news it says one thing and we're not sure of the reality of what's happening in Parliament, because when there's newspaper articles that say that people with disabilities are being ignored by this government, it's really worrying. And it's really worrying when you read that £4,000 of benefits going to be taken away from you. And we just want the truth. We just need to know what's happening in Parliament. And we would really like to have that information in a way that we all can understand. Because as advocates, we want to be a part of it. We want to be a part of having a say about policy and all these other things. But it's so hard to know what's truth in the current media climate, and how can you help us understand what's going on?
Yeah, well, I think one of the biggest frustrations I have is we don't have any necessary control over what the media print and what the media say. And I do think that sometimes what government is doing gets taken completely out of context and actually taken in the wrong direction as a fear factor type of approach, which is completely unnecessary and completely inappropriate. Because the government is doing a huge amount to try and ensure that those with disabilities are as best supported as possible and get back into the workplace as easy as possible, and dedicated support being provided to provide that assistance. And I think, you know, even today, there's been so many questions asked about the fact that we now don't have a disabilities minister, which is untrue. You know, we do, and we always have had one. It's just that the individual has changed. But that has been as a result, I suspect, of a lot of media making an issue of the change in personnel that has been dealing with that particular portfolio area, which then has created a bit of fear factor, which I've definitely picked up today, because I think there's been about 5 questions on it when it's not actually an issue. So I think, and then to the second point is about how government can understand a little bit more about what you want us to be focusing on, or me as the local MP. But, you know, that's why I like to come and engage with you all as much as I can. And as an organisation, you know, particularly over the last 4 years since I've been lucky enough to be the MP, I hope you would think that I've tried to, you know, engage as much as I can and come along and do Q&A and try and get a flavour of not only what you want me to be focusing on locally here in Keighley, but also, you know, what the government should be doing. And if you think what the government is doing is in the right direction or not. And if not, what do they need to do better of? And that's one of my jobs, to then go back to the ministerial team in the government to have conversations about that.
That's a situation, and the update on this on the votes, especially where your office and our vote, to give you update on the Alice official thing. Simple question.
So I know how bad the traffic is on Alice Street just out here, because my office is, as you know, just along there, and I use Alice Street all the time. But I remember the first meeting that I had with you was you quite rightly asking me to get a zebra crossing installed just outside, because you moved. In fact, it wasn't the first meeting, because the first meeting I had was over in your old location, and then the first meeting that we had here in this building in Central Hall was about the zebra crossing. Now, responsibility of highways, whether it is pavements, road signs, level crossings, all sits with the local authority, and that's the same wherever you are in England. It's the local authority that have control of highway improvements or changes to highways, speed reduction signs, etc. Now, I have raised the request for having a zebra crossing or a safer crossing, whether it's a zebra crossing or a pelican crossing or a traffic light system outside, because I know that not only you are using this building, but a lot, it's heavily utilised by a lot of community organisations and community groups. And given the speed of traffic along Alice Street and it being used as a rat run, I think it's justifiable to have a safer crossing outside. And the local authority will look at several measurables. So that will be things like how many reported incidents has there been outside, or a survey that they may want to undertake. So it's important that we keep trying to put as much weight on the local authority that they listen to us in trying to get that zebra crossing outside, because it's something that I would like to achieve. And actually, I mean, to put this in context, I'm having similar sorts of challenges with the local authority outside Holy Family School. Again, I've met with the head teacher up there many times and the staff up there who specifically want a zebra crossing to be put outside Holy Family School for very similar sorts of issues, but yet it hasn't been put outside. So I think all I would urge you to do, as well as what I will continue to do, is, you know, why don't you write yourselves, as well as I will continue to lobby the Highways Department at Bradford Council and make the case for it.
Remember to comment, like, share on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. You can find us by searching for the People First Podcast. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.